Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. Well, last Sunday we had Pentecost. This Sunday we have Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday that I generally try to be on vacation at, because the name of my sermon is Don't Even Try. Don't even try to explain something that is unfathomable as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, but yet one. Because we hear in Deuteronomy, the Lord your God, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. So there's one God, but we recognize God because God has chosen to reveal himself to us in three persons. So we try to explain it. You've heard the explanations, haven't you? Have you offered them? Well, the Trinity, it's like water. Water can be liquid, water can be ice, and you boil it, it can be steam, it can be vapor. But yet it is not all steam, it is not all ice, it is not all vapor at the same time. Or have you heard this one? You put these three fingers down, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's one hand. But this finger isn't the whole hand. Well, I'm going to pass this finger. And this finger is not the whole hand. It doesn't work that way. We have no explanation, humanly understandable, to explain the Trinity. So don't even try. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I'm a sucker. And that's the text for today. And I get to talk to you about that. Not to say it's just so frustrating that we should turn off our brains and simply believe everything that we hear. I don't want your minds to be so open that your brains fall out. But there's some things that we can't get. There's some things like God. And personally, I am really pleased that I don't have a God that I can understand. My God is greater than any of my wisdom, any of our collective wisdom, many more surpassable than any of the wisdom that has ever been in the universe at any time or taken all together, because our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Can I get an amen? So to think that we can is to deceive ourselves first and foremost. But yet I'm going to speak to you about it. It's been said that if you want to take a look at the Athanasian Creed, if I start going off track, and if you want to read something that might even be as boring as I am, the Athanasian Creed, page 319 and 320 in your hymnals, you take a look at that and see what you were spared from. But the Athanasian Creed speaks very plainly that if you don't believe in this Trinity, you're in danger of losing your salvation. So it's been said that if we don't believe in the Trinity, we could lose our salvation. But if we try to understand the Trinity, we can lose our wits. So there's that understanding and there's that believing. That's called faith. Faith operates not on sight. There was a story told about this guy that was hit while he was walking on the sidewalk, and he was to the point of death, and there happened to be a priest by, and the priest said, "Let me speak to him, let me pray with him a little bit before he dies." And so he knelt down next to the man, and he said to him, "Son, do you believe in the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?" And the guy opened up his eyes, and he said, "Here I am dying and you give me a riddle." It can be a riddle. It can seem like that. But all throughout Scripture, it's there. Tell me what passage in Scripture the word Trinity is found. It's not. It's not in the Bible. But the Trinity is everywhere. From the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, when the world is just a void, we hear that the Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters. We hear God speaking within itself, "Let us make man in our image." Those are plurals. When Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says to them, go baptize in the name, singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The last book of the Bible, in Revelation, we hear about the Lamb and about the God and the Spirit that testifies for all of that. So from the beginning until the very end of Scripture, it's shot through with these images of God relating to us in these three persons. They're all present at Jesus' baptism. Jesus is being baptized in the Jordan. He's the second person of the Trinity. The heavens are torn open, and God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, speaks. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, descends from heaven into Jesus like a dove. All three persons of the Trinity together at one time. So why do we try? Title of my sermon is Don't Even Try, but why do we try? You know, some people might think it's because the theologians always, they can't find an explanation that can't be made more difficult. But I want to share this quote with you from Mary Anderson. She wrote an article called So Explain It to Me. It came out in the Christian Century magazine way back in 1988. But when you find something on the Trinity, you tend to hold on to it and use it year after year. This is what she says. There are probably a number of people who imagine that the idea of the Trinity was thought up by ivory tower theologians who typically were making things more complicated than they needed to be and were obscuring the simple faith of regular believers. In fact, it seems that the process worked pretty much the other way around. Practicing believers and worshipers were driven by their experiences of God's activity to the awareness that God related in several different ways to creation. Thus, what these believers came to insist upon was that God had to be recognized as being in different forms of relationship with the creation, in ways at least like different persons. And all these ways were divine, that is, were of God. Yet, there could not be three gods. God to be the biblical God and the one God of all had to be one God. This complex and profound faith was then handed over to the theologians to try to make more intelligible. They've been trying ever since. It seems to me that instead of explaining how three things are really one thing, what we must try to do with the doctrine of the Trinity, what it was originally formulated to do, give words to the faith. As Christians in mission, we must be ready to witness to others about what we believe and why we believe it. The early Christians living in a hostile world needed to put some definite language to what they believed Christ had revealed to them. For the sake of unity, they needed a common language, a common confession. In our hostile world, our witnesses demand the same thing. What the Trinity does is explain the unfathomable love of God, which unites creation and redemption, and is made real to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Roman Catholic Church gave up on this a long time ago. They came up with a thing called the Mysterium Tremendum, the tremendous mystery. They just kind of leave it at that. Now, can you imagine people of simple faith saying we experience God through the Holy Spirit? We experience the Father in creation. We experience the salvation of Jesus Christ. So let's get these learned people together in a room and come up with an explanation. Like I said, they've been trying ever since. It just doesn't happen. There's so many things that I use every day that I don't fully understand. I don't know if you're with me on this, but I turn on a light switch. I don't really understand entirely all the circuitry and how the electrons work and all of that, but I generally know when I put it in this position, it's on, in this position, it's off. I used to be able to work on my car pretty well back when we had, remember, rear-wheel drive, and you'd open up the hood and there was all kinds of room in there, and the rocker arms were right there, the carburetor. You could work on your car then. Now I have a hybrid. It's a plug-in battery. I have no idea, with the battery here, battery here, battery here. I have no idea about it. But there's some people that do. There's some people that completely understand all of that. I'm so glad because I can take my car to them. I can call the electricians to come to my house. Now, why do they understand it? Because these things are created. Some mind made it up. How come we can't understand the Trinity? The Trinity is eternal. The Trinity is beyond our mind. No mind made up God. God made up God himself. God became who he is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, and we're told in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. That's the second person of the Trinity. It also goes on to say in John chapter 1 that nothing in all creation was made except that which was made by the Logos. So Christ was co-creator with God. You see, we have to get that in mind as we're doing this. All the persons of the Trinity are not easily broke down. We like to teach in confirmation. Father is the creator. Son is the redeemer. Spirit is the sanctifier. But it doesn't just work separately like that. They are all in relationship with one another. It points to the centrality of Christ. Now, does that seem like I'm leaving out the Holy Spirit and dissing the Father? Not at all. They all work together. Jesus said in Matthew 28, before he ascended into heaven, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What does that sound like to you? Sounds pretty central, doesn't it? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ. Paul will write later on that there's going to come a time when we finally pass from this life, and at that time, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ is the center of this whole thing, because it was in Jesus Christ that God performed his redemption. It tells us in the writings of Paul that through Jesus, God was reconciling the world unto himself. Christ is the person of the Trinity that took on our flesh and our blood. Now, here's another mystery. How can God be true God and still be true man? We can't make that explanation either. And all kind of heresies have come up. And in fact, the reason that we have these creeds was to fight off these heresies. When I say that there's water, it's ice and it's liquid and it's steam, that's called modalism. That was one of the heresies. Arianism is another heresy that came up that said Jesus wasn't really begotten before all worlds, but Jesus was created by God the Father. There's adoptionism, where Jesus isn't really God, but at his baptism, he became God. And when he died on the cross, he ceased to be God. So to combat all these false understandings, to defend our faith, these theologians got together, Council of Nicaea, about 325 AD, took them over 300 years to do it, but they got together and formulated these three different creeds, and they stand guard over our Christian faith. They're these big security guards. They're well-armed. They're well-trained, and they fight off things like Jehovah's Witnesses who say that Jesus is just one person among many, you can be a God like Jesus too. There's only Jehovah, or like the Mormons, that Jesus, they say Jesus' brother was the devil. It's not the way it works, folks. We have to have a creed that identifies who we are and who we aren't. And those security guards are from the creed family. They're the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. And they keep us on the right path. So what does all of this mean for us? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. We've already touched on that. So, therefore, go into all nations. All nations, everybody is important to God. That's part of our mission statement. Everyone is important in God's sight. Everyone is important. Doesn't matter what language you speak or if you don't speak a language at all. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your bank account is or if you even have a bank account. What matters is that God loves you, that God created you in his image. And God is love. And love, just one thing I know about love. Love must, I don't know a lot about it, but I know this, that love must be expressed in relationship. Can I get an amen? You can't just say, I love this, but not be in a relationship with something. I love the earth. Well, what are you doing? Go out and pick up some trash. You know, do something to be in relationship with that. And how can the Father and the Son and the Holy, how could God, if he were just one, and we know that God is love, amen? Everybody not know that, that God is love? God is love. And God had to be three to be in relationship before he made creation, before he sent his son Jesus Christ into the earth, before he created us in his image and likeness. Now, this is something that totally mind-blowing to me, too, because God created everything, visible and invisible. We don't even know. The universe keeps getting bigger and bigger as we develop more techniques to discover the vastness of God's creation. Is God continually creating bigger and more things, or are we just discovering things that God created a long time ago? It doesn't matter. The universe is huge. But what does the Bible tell us about you, about all the things in creation? What and whom did he create in his image? Whom did he create in his likeness? And that's you. That God has this special relationship with you. So God has this special relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's this community. There's this love. And now God is inviting us, who he created in his image and likeness, to be part of that community, to be part of that ingathering of love, to dance with God. And that's what worship should be, a celebration. We should be dancing with God. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10 that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. It means work of art. I haven't seen everything in this world, but I've seen a lot of beauty in this world. I'm sure you have too. Sunrises. Anybody a morning person? You get to see sunrises? Well, for those of the, you aren't, you can see sunsets, right? Because it comes up and it goes down. And it's beautiful, whether it's over a mountain or it's whether over the ocean. Wherever it is, it's beautiful. God says, compared to the most beautiful thing in creation, you are more than that. You are his workmanship. You have God's favor. You are his child. You are an heir. So Jesus comes into the world to share with us all of the things of the Father. He lived for a certain period of time. He ascended into heaven, gave all of that knowledge to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit continues his work in us today. That's what it means to us. The ongoing love of God, forming community with him and with those around us here today. There's an old Chinese proverb that I like to close with that says, the bird sings not because she has an answer, but because she has a song. May we forget the answer and sing the song. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.